Well, it's good to be back into Ephesians here. We're actually in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. If you'd like to turn your Bibles there. I want to extend to you greetings from the Price family and from the Hashes as well. The Prices had family and some things that they were going to be able to get done there in Houston. It was an evening wedding. It was late. John Price and Catherine Hasher are now Mr. and Mrs. Jonathan Edward Price. And it was a wonderful time together. And some of you made it or are there with a little bit of sleep in your eyes this morning. But they wanted to let the church body know that they were sorry that they could not be back and be with us this morning. And to thank you for your prayers for John and Catherine and expressions of support as they got married. We did get back about 12:30 last night after a pretty hard weekend, many of you as well. So I'll try to keep you awake this morning. We have a beautiful passage of Scripture. And what I'd like to do is just to pick up in verse 11 there of chapter 2 and read to the end of the chapter together. I'll read out loud and you follow along in the Word. And we'll look at some wonderful things from that God has for us this morning. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in the one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access by one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And as we take a look at this wonderful passage, I pray and trust that God will equip you with some wonderful things that we need to be aware of as God's people. Let me just kind of remind you in regard to chapter 2, some things that we've covered. As we began this book, God, through the Apostle Paul, just really laid down the principle of the reality of our position in Jesus Christ. And he made such wonderful statements as the fact that God has chosen us before the foundation of the world, and that we should be holy and blameless, and he predestined us, and all of these lofty truths that are positional truths of our life in Jesus Christ. And then the Apostle Paul prayed a prayer that basically asking that God would give to us a spirit of wisdom and knowledge of the revelation of Jesus Christ and of these things that God had worked through his Son. And when we began chapter 2, God explained or described our lives before Christ, that we were dead in trespasses and sins, in our sins, and that God, who is rich in His mercies, made us alive. And that's the reality of the new covenant that Christ accomplished when He died on the cross for you and for me. And what took place there is that God, when though we were walking around physically, the Scripture describes us as being spiritually dead, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that we were without ability to comprehend spiritual truth or understand the things of God. And so God in Christ Jesus made us alive. And that's what we call the experience of being born again. In chapter 1, the beginning, it talks about our depravity, that we're depraved. And from Scripture, we understand that we hold a doctrine called total depravity. And that means that you're not, it doesn't mean that you're as funky as you can be, because we can, there's varying degrees of our trash and our crud and our sin against God and where we are. But what it does mean is that we do not have the ability, that we're so spiritually dead that just like a live person, an alcoholic that is dead, physically dead, they can't respond to that alcohol. And so spiritually, when we're spiritually dead, we can't respond to things, to spiritual truths. And so God made us alive. And that's the born-again experience. It's what it means for one to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And He, the Scripture says that He made us alive and He raised us up with Christ. And He seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And through all of these lofty truths, we have come to see the unfolding of the position that we have in Christ. That when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, in the Scripture, by God's judicious decree and declaration, you have died with Him. And not only did you die with Him, but positionally, God has declared you raised up with Christ Jesus. And not only raised with Him, but even at this moment, while you are sitting here and walking about in your journey here on planet Earth, He has seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So whereas you were depraved and spiritually dead, God, in rich in His mercy, because of His great love, made you alive. And He saved you by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the process that God worked. In verse 11, and we looked at the fact that we are His, in verse 10 there, that we're God's workmanship. He created you to be a trophy of His grace. God has left you here to put you on display and to declare that as you by faith take your position, and there's this transformation that's taking place in your life as a born-again believer that has put his trust in Jesus Christ and received the wonderful provision that God has made, that by the power of God to become sons of God, children of God, and be a part of the family of God through rebirth or through regeneration. God has determined to, in His workmanship, to create in Christ Jesus in you good works, which before the world He predestined for you to walk in. You're a trophy of His grace. Now when we come to verse 11, we move from the idea of this depravity and being dead to the realities that our former condition, in that former condition, we were deprived. We were deprived of relationship with God. We were deprived of many things, but Paul, in these verses, as the apostle to the Gentiles, directs his attention to the Gentiles in these verses, beginning in verse 11. And he wants for them to remember certain things. Remember who you, not only who you were, but also who you are in Christ Jesus. And so perhaps a good word for our title here in the sermon this morning is not simply remember who you are, but the idea of keep in mind not only who you were and the condition, that deprived condition that we had previously before Christ, but remember or keep in mind who you are right now. And so let's look at verse 11. We find that we were depraved and spiritually dead, and God caused us to be born again. He made us alive. We were deprived and spiritually destitute here in these verses, but God has made us members of His household. He has joined us to His family and made us joint heirs with the Jewish people who were near to God or nearer to God through His Word and the revelation of His truth. And God has supplied to you who were deprived and penniless in the spiritual sense with all the riches that are in Christ Jesus. And so He wants us to remember. Let's look at these verses. He says, therefore, remember. It is for this reason that connects it with the things that we just talked about. I wanted to take some time, because we've been out of Ephesians for a couple of weeks, to make that point. That there is a direct connection. He's wanting for you and for me and for the Ephesian believers directly there to remember those things. Therefore, remember what we just talked about. Remember that you were formerly Gentiles in the flesh. They were Gentiles. And Gentiles were those that were outside of the covenant of God. Notice what it says there, that you were Gentiles in the flesh, you who are called the uncircumcision. Now, what does uncircumcision have to do with? What is it talking about when it says it automatically takes you where it should be, there in the Old Testament, to Abraham and the covenant that God made with Abraham, right? The Gentile believers, that would have been us, before Christ, were outside of the covenants that God had made with the people. Remember that in the Scripture it was Abraham, and then you had Isaac, and then you had Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and then you had the 12 tribes, and it was to the offspring of Abraham that the promises were given, the blessing of the land, the seed, and the promise of the coming Messiah. Those things that were given to Israel through Abraham, through their descendant. And so, as the Jewish people looked at the Gentiles, they were known as the uncircumcision, those outside the covenant. And so, in your notes here, we basically have three points that we want to bring out and to remember in light of who we were and who we now are in Christ Jesus. And keep in mind that we have been brought near. We have been brought near to Jesus Christ. We've been brought near to God. Those Gentiles who formerly were the uncircumcision outside the covenants are brought near. And in verses 14 through 17, then it talks about peace. These verses, when you initially read them, if this is your first time to take a look at this passage, it gets kind of confusing. But if you can keep these big points in mind, it'll help you kind of organize some of the things that are stated there, because Paul kind of goes all over the place with these long sentences. But basically he's saying, keep in mind that you were brought near by Jesus Christ. Those that were uncircumcised, that had no part in the promises that were given to Israel and the people of God, have been brought near in Jesus Christ. You have been given peace through Jesus Christ. And there's some specific details that we'll look at there. And then thirdly, in those final verses 18 through 22, we have been granted access to God. So this morning we sang about coming into the Holy of Holies, and there's a real picture there that where God has declared to us in under the new covenant that we're to come boldly before the throne of grace. to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that picture is the picture of this Jewish temple where God dwelt in this place, and only the high priest could go in once a year. But through Jesus Christ, we have been given access into that very holy of holiest places and in the presence of Almighty God. And those are the things that the Apostle Paul wants for us to keep in mind. So let's look at these verses, and we're going to look at what it means to keep in mind that we have been brought near. Okay? Let's look again there at verse 11. And it says, You are to remember that you are formerly Gentiles in the flesh, that were called, those who were called the uncircumcision, by those who call themselves circumcision in the flesh, made with hands. Now this made with hands is kind of a key thing here, because Paul is contrasting a little bit the works idea and the idea that the Jewish people had of being a part of the privilege and the certain rituals that they went through to have relationship with God. And so part of their religious system was through the works of man. And Paul contrasts that with a temple. And as we get to the end of this chapter, he'll show that in Christ Jesus that you are living stones in the local church, in the local body of Christ, and that this is a temple made without hands. It's something that God has done. And the picture there is that which was made with hands is that which is man-made, that which man has to do with. Systems of man. But what God has done is something that only God could do. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. There are 5 points here that we'd like to keep in mind in regard to these things, that God brought you near. And the first one is the passage that we just looked at there, that you were formerly far off, you were deprived or without Christ in the world, but God declared and we were uncircumcised as unlike the Jewish people. So there's being a contrast that Paul wants to draw here between two groups of people. Those that had been given the covenants and the promises of God, and those that were outside of those covenants and promises. He uses a type of a picture describing them as those who were near, speaking of the Jewish people, and those who were far away. You and I would have been Gentiles. We would have been those who were far away. I don't think there's anyone in here, someone might have slipped in, as a Jewish background. But in the pictures in these verses, those that were near would be the Jewish people, who were given the covenants and had the temple placed in the land there in Jerusalem and had access to that temple for the worship of God. Okay, so let's move on to verse 12 there. Verse 12 says, and it's remember, that's in most of your Bibles, if you got the NAS, your Bible would say that you are to remember that you were at that time separate. Well, that's a repetition that the translators put in to help you follow. Because there's a big old that there, or subordinate conjunction, that ties or connects verse 12 with verse 11. And basically what we have are 5 statements of the condition, the deprived condition that we were in as Gentiles, okay? First of all, we were uncircumcised. We were outside the covenant of Abraham. The promises and the covenants were given to Israel. Well, we had nothing to do with that. But then it goes on to say that you were without Christ, and at that time you were without Christ. And then there's a series of participles that Paul lays out which describes that. And the first one declares that you were strangers from the citizenship of Israel, or from the commonwealth. Now the idea, or the picture here, is that a stranger was an alien or a sojourner, a Gentile, that came that might visit Israel, and they could be there but without citizenship. This meant a lot to the Roman citizens that were there in Ephesians or at Ephesus, and these Gentile believers that were attending the church there, and they would automatically draw the picture and understand in their minds that they were often not citizens of Rome, and they were without the privileges of citizenship. And yet, they were sojourning within the Roman Empire, and they were within this commonwealth, and they made their livelihood, and they worked and raised living for their families, and Rome provided laws and certain structure, social and cultural and political structures in which they dwelled. And Paul draws this picture that for the Gentile, for the Goyim that were living within the land, that they were aliens, that they were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, that they didn't have the privileges that God brought Israel into the promised land for, and that they were not given a portion of the inheritance of the promised land like Israel had been given, and they weren't afforded any of those things that had to do with the provision that God had made for His people. Gentiles were just outside. And so Paul wants for these believers to realize, hey, you guys were deprived, outside of a relationship with God, alienated from the citizenship of Israel and all the promises that had to do within the Mosaic covenant, the land covenant that God made with Israel and that Israel, in fact, enjoyed. They were aliens. They were illegal aliens of a sense, and some of them dwelt in the land there. But they didn't have the rights or privileges of citizenship. And then he goes on to say, and you were strangers. There's a different word is used here. It's basically the same kind of idea. But an alien or a pilgrim to the covenants of promise. Now the covenants of promise is very similar to the idea of the circumcision of those that were uncircumcised. I might point out that what the sign of the Abrahamic covenant was circumcision, right? What was the sign of the Mosaic covenant? Some of those of you that have been through the Bible stuff will remember or call these things. What's the sign of the Mosaic covenant? Somebody tell me. What's that? The Sabbath. That's correct. Very good. It's the sign of the Mosaic covenant is the Sabbath. And what's the sign of the covenant that we celebrated this morning during our earlier hour? The Lord's Supper. Okay? Right? The Lord's Supper is the sign of the covenant that God has made with us. That's the new covenant sign. And so here we have the reality that Gentiles were strangers to the covenants of promise. And those covenants of promise, that word is plural. So the idea is that these unconditional covenants or promises that were given to Israel were outside of the grasp or the ownership or the privilege of Gentile, even those that came to believe. They were outside, and basically these covenants have to do with the Abrahamic promises that God gave to Israel in regard to land, and the Davidic covenant that had to do with seed, and even at that point before Christ, to the new covenant of promise that we have been engrafted into through the church of Jesus Christ. Okay, so point three is that they were strangers to the covenants, describing our deprived condition. And then it says that you were without hope. Without hope in the world. Okay? And the fifth point that's made is that you were without God in the world. Word there is atheos. So, which is where we get our word atheist. But he's just simply saying that you were without God. Without Christ at that time, they were without God. And Paul wants for us to remember. And as we reflected like this morning in the Lord's Supper, Jesus Christ, the covenant that He made with us, and being brought into the family of God, it's important for us to remember that we were without Christ, that we were atheists without God in the world. So we had a system that was contrary to God, in opposition to God, in rebellion against God. And we were part of it. And we were far away from God. So whereas Israel, they had a problem as well. And they had need for Christ to come and to deal with their sin. But they were near because they had the Word of God. They had the law of Moses. They had the covenants that were given to Abraham. And they were near to God. And the picture there is that where Jerusalem was and where the temple was built, there was the Shekinah glory of God, the presence where God dwelt with His people Israel. And the Jewish people were near, but we were far away. So these 5 points make up the realities. But look at verse 13. But now you... And supplied would be the present tense verb because, but now you are in Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Now, you who formerly were far away, you were far off, far out, and you have become, or you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. What does that tell us? In the covenant of Jesus Christ, through the sacrificial offering of Christ, by His shed blood, as we talked about again earlier this morning, the penal, what we call the penal substitution of Christ for Gentiles, for those who were far away from God, for those who had no part of the covenants, we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And the song that we sang this morning, coming into the Holy of Holies, is a reminder that in Israel, the high priest once a year would take the blood of the sacrifice and he would bring it before the altar there into the presence of God, and he would offer up that sacrifice according to the dictates of the Mosaic law. And that sacrifice was, that blood sacrifice was the provision that was made for the relationship that Israel had with a holy God, because they were sinful people just like we are. And they needed, they acknowledged and recognized their need. You know, we need worship. We need to come together. We need to think in terms of worshiping God in this way. And we need to enjoy the wonderful privilege that God has given to us of being brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the new covenant, you who were far away from God are now able to come near to God. Isn't that incredible? Because you think about it, this week I can guarantee you that 99.9% of the individuals in this room fell into sin to varying degrees that was just, some of it just terrible. And when you came here this morning, you had no hope. No hope of knowing God or being in His presence or in any way approaching God. And though maybe at the end of the week, it's like my little Haitian friend at seminary used to say, he said, I try to do lots of good things during the week so that I can sin a lot on the weekends. He was the funniest guy then. But you know, he was making that, and of course it was all in jest, but he was making that point that oftentimes we try to approve ourselves to God by piling up enough good works to make up for the funky things that we do, sin-wise, that would never be acceptable to God, would simply make it impossible for you and for me to be in God's presence. But He has drawn us near by the blood of Christ. And so we who were deprived, we who were without relationship, without citizenship, without knowledge of the covenants, without hope, without God in the world, God has, by His mercies in Jesus Christ, drawn us near to Him.